John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. I do not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel.'" John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Peace with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you. When we think of our relationship with Jesus Christ, when we think of how he desires to have that intimate connection with us, we use the word covenant. The word covenant means that God enters into an eternal promise with his people. He says, "I am your God, and you will be my people." It's an important relationship that was necessary after sin entered into the world. Because, see, God created us body and soul. He created us in his image and likeness. He created us to have that perfect desire for him, which our soul is always longing for, and to share it with one another. But yet when sin entered the picture, we kind of had drifted away from that perfection. And so his job, his desire, his love was to reestablish it. Ultimately, we know that he reestablishes it by Jesus taking on flesh and becoming like us so that we can become like him, become like we were created to be. But in the meantime, he entered into different relationships, different covenants with his people so that they would know he was constantly drawing them back to himself. The first covenant was marriage with Adam and Eve. And then as things began to drift away, once again with Noah in the flood, reestablished with the bow in the sky. We know of Moses and the people of Israel being drawn back to God through the commandments and the law. But the most significant was that covenant with Abram. The name Abram means father of many, whose name would be changed to Abraham, the father of nations. See, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of all nations, that the covenant that he makes with Abraham would be for all people, and that he would be their God, and they would be his people. And it was fulfilled through Jacob, his son, who had 12 sons and became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's name, too, was changed from Jacob to Israel. We always think of Israel as a place, a land, but in essence, it was a person and a nation. Name changing was important to refocus people back into the love of God. Now, here's the thing that we know about God's love for us. It is the thing that is constant. It is the thing that is never broken. He didn't even make any other covenants, but we continue to wander away from his love. If you ever felt like you have fallen away from God or fell far from him, he hasn't moved. We have made that move in being distracted through sin or our lives or even in fear. So he always draws us back. So our first reading today through the prophet Isaiah is a reminder that people of Israel, people of Jacob, people of nations, people of the covenant of God, he will reestablish it again. Even though you have drifted away, some of the tribes have fallen away, I will make you strong again. To be what? A father of nations in my love. And he does that in and through our baptism. It's the new covenant that he calls us to reestablish his love with us. So last week we saw Jesus' baptism, and in the baptism we said he sanctified the waters. He was identified as, we hear John say again today, the Son of God, as the Holy Spirit will lead him forward. So in baptism we are called to follow Christ. Paul says, if you want to know what the will of God is, You know what the will of God is? It's to be holy. To be holy. That's all God wills for me and for you. And we're sanctified through the gift of baptism. So what happens in baptism? We're given a name, right? We're given a name in baptism so that we can answer to God's call to follow His will. And throughout our lives, we have all kinds of names that people call us, right? We have our baptismal name. We have our names our parents call us. We have our names, our nicknames, our friends call us. And then there's other names that people call us and we just don't answer to. We may say in our heart, in our mind, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. The only names that are important are those that we give power in our love to share in that love. So when we have our baptismal call, we have to ask ourselves, have we wandered away from that covenant love? Have we lived and participated in the way we were called to? We were consecrated priest, prophet, and king. We are called to act in the name of Christ, as Paul says, to sanctify those who are in our presence by bringing them closer to God. So the church in its greatest wisdom knows that we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, but we need to reestablish that covenant. And we call it confirming it. The sacrament of confirmation is when we're re-empowered with the Holy Spirit awakened in us, so that we may do exactly what Christ has asked us to do. On Friday, I spent the evening with 90 eighth graders who are in the Matthias Project, which is our confirmation class. And the name of our retreat was Name Calling Retreat. We didn't sit there and call each other names, but the idea was for them to come up with a name, because they get a new name in confirmation to confirm the name they received in baptism. What name is it that you're going to choose all on your own? What saint is it that you want to emulate? How is it that when you ask God to allow you to follow His will, you would hear Him calling you personally? That is the message of John's calling Jesus' attention to us, that He comes to baptize us in the Holy Spirit so that we may be reaffirmed in the covenant of love that began in baptism, so that we may live it out fully in our lives. So then what is our mission for this week? I think first and foremost, it is, as always should be, to have that 2020 vision, that clear faith focus to become saints. Because that's God's will, to be holy and righteous in His sight. And we only can do that if we respond properly to our baptismal call, strengthened by our confirmation. So the second thing you should do is recall your name that you received in confirmation. Many of us got to choose that name. Others, it was given to us. But nevertheless, allow that to be a renewal of who you are as priest, prophet, and king in the presence of the Lord. And also I would ask you to be auxiliary members of the Matthias Project. What does that mean? It means we need your prayers for the children who are being confirmed. The Matthias Project is that we're making these young men and women through confirmation the 12th apostle. Remember Matthias? He took the place of Judas. So as auxiliary members, we need you to pray for them, that they discern properly the name that will be their name forever, that God will call them by. Pray for them because they're eighth graders. That should be enough reason to pray for them. Think the world's hard for you. Imagine what it's like for an eighth grader. Pray for them. So as they move towards confirmation, they'll know that covenant love that Christ has for us. And finally, I would ask you, as a part of the mission, as you come forward to receive Christ the Lord, the Son of God, in the Holy Eucharist, ask for an increase in the gift of hope, so that you may be the priest for which you were baptized to be. What does it mean to be priestly? It means to sacrifice yourself on behalf of the love and mercy and forgiveness of others, to draw them back into Christ. That's how we're priests for each other. Ask for an increase in the gift of faith, to be like the prophet Isaiah, the prophet that we're called to be, and remind people when things just seem to be dark, it seems that God is so far away, we probably wandered outside of his light. But the darkness will never overtake that light. Ask him to help you to be that prophet for those who live in despair and fear. And finally, ask him for the virtue of love so that you may share properly in his kingdom. You're called to be king like Christ. What does that mean? To act like the King Christ, who's constantly giving of his love, constantly desiring to share his eternal life. If you do these things, I know not only will our students benefit, but you will benefit to be a closer disciple of Christ, like Matthias, trying to cover up the path of those who have fallen away like Judas, so that he may be known to the world. And I promise I will do the same.